This morning, I would like to share a testimony of God's great faithfulness to myself and my family. I would like to ask my family to come. We would like to sing a song about God's faithfulness to us, and then I will share more details. You could come. We just want to acknowledge that we have experienced great needs, but we also just want to acknowledge that we have a great God who is well able to meet our deepest needs, and we want to sing a song about His faithfulness to us.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions
to share some of the ways that God's been faithful to us this morning. I would like to share a very condensed version of our journey into and out of debt. It's a long story, so I'm going to mostly read it and hope that it can be a blessing to God, our Creator, and also to others who may have had or be going through similar struggles. We got married in March of 1991, 21 years ago. At that time, we had no debt. We had a small savings account and all the basic household and personal belongings. The first year, we lived rent utilities free, working as a hired hand for $15 a day. At the end of the first year, our savings were depleted and we moved to another community and found a better paying job at that time. Later in 1992, 5 months after we moved, we bought our first property, a house on 3.5 acres purchased with 100% borrowed money. Without paying off our house, we later bought an adjacent property for the barn and land it provided to go with our house. From 1993 on, the normal pattern of our life was more expense than income. We would borrow more money to stay current on our bills. During this period, we also began to use credit cards. Between my wife and I, we had numerous card accounts which we used to begin a business and pay part of the second property. From then on, it was a constant struggle of robbing Peter to pay Paul, transferring from one card to another in an effort to avoid higher interest as the rates went up. You see, as I grew to adulthood, I still had not learned proper money management or the satisfaction of earning something honestly. From a very young age, I had the mistaken idea that money was to be acquired, not earned in an ethical manner. Even though the theory came to an end when I became a Christian at 18 years of age, there were no healthy money thought patterns in place to take over. All of this was compounded by lots of depression, caused by wrong thinking, sinful habits, not enough self-discipline in the right areas, feelings of worthlessness, and lack of vision. Life was dominated by putting out fires generated by past mistakes rather than looking ahead to the needs of the future. You could liken our debt situation at this point to a fast-moving train going downhill, where applying the brakes has little impact. A train in motion is hard to stop once it gets momentum. By 1997, we acknowledged there was a problem. At this time, we started working with a brother from the church on our financial situation. After seeing wrong, out-of-control patterns, he strongly recommended that we seek professional counseling. Even though I knew in my heart it was God I needed, we went ahead with it, and on the very first visit, I was diagnosed with ADHD and was referred to a psychiatrist who prescribed antidepressants and other medications. I felt like I was a guinea pig as we tried all kinds of medication. Around this same time, a support group was started for the ADHD, and we also accepted a church brother's suggestion of a 3-person financial oversight committee. Both turned out to be a tremendous blessing. The fast-moving debt train started slowing down, but it would take a long time to get it stopped and turned around. The financial committee was a great help in personal direction and accountability and learning to be under authority. They started third-party negotiation and interest forgiveness and personal loans. They were able to get us personal loans for all of our credit card debt. From here on out, they guided us in our management decisions. In 2000, we had an auction and liquidated all of our business and belongings except our household furnishings. We also started selling our properties, which were separated into 3 different parcels. Most of the years prior to this, I was self-employed, which exacerbated the problem because of my lack of management skills, depression, complications from ADHD causing poor focus, and so forth. In 2001, I became an employee, and the Lord very clearly provided a favorable house for us to move into. During this time, the train called debt started seriously slowing down and actually got turned around. But it was still a long, slow, uphill process. Our children calculated that at the then current rate of debt repayment, we would be debt-free in 100 years or so. A little later, after a pay raise and the sale of another property, the calculation dropped back to 44 years till we'd be debt-free. I can remember thinking at that time that if I live a good long life, I'll still get to enjoy maybe a few years of being debt-free. In 2004, I spent 6 months in Kentucky at a men's discipleship program, which was a big help in reprogramming wrong thinking patterns and habits. In March of 2005, 1.5 months after I came home from Kentucky, we moved to Pennsylvania and started attending charity here. At this point, we probably had about $90,000 debt. Before we even moved, God had arranged an excellent job with a strong Christian environment and a supervisor who was a tremendous, just totally tremendous, in drawing out the best from me in spite of all my faults and failings. This job has played a vital part in us becoming debt-free. Soon after moving here, the children figured out that we only had 20-some years left until we'd be debt-free. Faithful persistence in denying wants, sometimes even almost needs, began paying off. Definitely, most of all, we want to give God all the glory because it was all Him. Now for the best part. A year ago, in February, our debt was down to $40,000 at the beginning of that year. One evening, our three oldest girls were invited to a friend's house for the evening. In a conversation, one of the girls was asked, "If you could ask God for anything you wanted and He would grant it right now, what would it be?" The immediate response was, "Get out of debt." Their hostess wondered why she was so eager to be debt-free, and our daughter replied, "So we could have a father." With this debt situation, my children resented the fact that their father has to work long, hard hours to get out of debt, and they just wanted my focus and attention. The children's hostess said that she thinks that would be a desire God would honor, and that they would have grounds to pray for a miracle. So our girls came home full of faith and ready to pray. 2 weeks later, an anonymous gift of $2,000 appeared in our mailbox, confirming that God was indeed in favor of this. 3 months later, with my tax refund, vacation pay, the gift from the church, and the money we had saved, our debt was cut in half. Praise the Lord. We were excited. Maybe in one more year we could be debt-free. But with quite a few unexpected expenses coming up throughout that year, including the pregnancy of our 10th child due this June, we really did not think that it was actually going to happen. But our children kept believing God for a miracle and praying that we could have one child who would never need to live under the shadow of debt. On April 1st, 2012, we delivered our last debt repayment check and even had enough left over to celebrate on the way home with a whole ice cream cone for each person in the family. This may sound strange to some of you, but it was an extravagant luxury to not need to share 4 ice cream cones among the 11 of us. Praise God for His faithfulness. I would like to share some of the things that were a blessing while we were still going downhill and the future looked dark. I had this mistaken idea that financial success belonged to God, but financial failure was my responsibility. I read in a book about biblical finances that one should transfer ownership of everything to God, including failures. This realization and just the Holy Spirit quickening that to my heart lifted a tremendous burden off of me at that particular time. Another time, we were encouraged through someone speaking the Bible promise that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It would be nothing to him to send a bunch to market and meet the need of the hour. And I actually did the math at that time. I looked in the Lancaster Farming to see what they're bringing at New Holland, and it really encouraged me because it was astronomical, the amounts. God also blessed us with healthy children born at home. We acknowledge it was Him alone who kept serious illnesses and calamity at bay. On the other hand, He multiplied undeserved blessings upon us. My financial committee had advised me not to give large amounts or to systematically tithe, but to give small amounts occasionally so as not to forget God's principles of giving, but yet to not give away other people's money that wasn't mine to begin with. My greatest surprise since being debt-free is the realization of what it means, what the freedom to give is, and the delight that that brings. I had not realized that before, what a blessing it could be to be free to give. And I just want to say that was a surprise, and I'm glad for that. And I want to publicly thank my dear wife for remaining faithful through all the lack and the hardships and the sacrifice that she has endured over the years. I want to thank my children for pulling together in the common goal of becoming debt-free, especially your faithful prayers in the last year or so. That is very special and has been a big part of this. I want to thank you, my faithful church brothers, who supported and encouraged me tremendously many times. Many times, your encouragement was worth more than dollars. It just is tremendous to be part of a body where you feel the support and encouragement of brothers. Thank you so much. Our life has revolved around this debt for so long that we now need to change our thinking and learn to live in freedom. Our family still has great needs. Please keep praying that God would give us a vision for our family and that would help us to be a blessing to people and bring honor and glory to our all-powerful God. Praise God, He has won over this bondage of debt, and we will trust Him with our future. We want to sing another song as a prayer for our future.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my life.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you sharing that. I was sitting there thinking that when Jesus was on the cross, we translate some of his last words as "it is finished" in the English, but actually in the Greek he said "telesteia," "telesteia," which means, do you know what?
Paid in full.
Paid in full, or the debt is paid. And so he saw that freedom from sin as something we owed, and he had to pay our debt so we could be free. And part of the reason for that is if you look in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the root word for debt and sin are actually the same word. Very interesting. Meaning that if you're in debt to someone, they control you or they have the right to, you know, direct what you do. So all of those things are kind of, you know, have a lot of implications there for that freedom that you talked about. You used that word a couple of times, and it's very, very accurate from a biblical standpoint. Yeah, thank you for sharing. And we're glad that Jesus did pay the debt, aren't we? That we're free. And we've had that experience, and we know what it feels like to have that load of sin, but also to know the joy, the freedom, to have it paid in full. Hallelujah.
Good morning, boys and girls. Certainly good to see all of you here this morning. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you that you're here with us and that you have something to say to us. Pray that you'd bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the last little while, the moms and dads have, and the brothers here at church have been talking about goals and vision and mission and some of those kinds of things. And one of the things we've talked about too is priorities. Who can tell me what a priority is? Sort of a big word, isn't it? What do you think?
Like a plan.
A plan? Okay. Yeah, something you want to think about with a plan? Yes.
Something you put above all
else. Okay. So what's important, isn't it? All right. So priorities are things that are important. So I have a lesson this morning that talks about focusing on priorities, things that are important. What would you say are some things that are really important? What are your ideas? Yes.
Obeying God.
Obeying God. Sure. That's good. What else? What's important? Yes?
Obeying Mom and Dad.
Obeying Mom and Dad. Great. Yes.
Reading the Bible.
Sure. Yes.
Picking up the toys,
yes. We like an orderly place, don't we? That really helps us all feel better, doesn't it? Yes? Being kind. That is so important. Yes.
Being obedient.
Being obedient, sure. Uh-huh.
Helping others.
Wonderful, yes.
Loving one another.
Wow, yes. Good ideas.
Praying.
Okay, these are a lot of good things. Yes.
Singing,
okay.
Being truthful,
great.
Telling people about God.
My, you have such good ideas. Somebody has been teaching you well and you've been paying attention. That's really good. Jesus had something to say about what was important. And I think it pretty well covers what y'all have been talking about. Can you remember what Jesus said that is most important? Maybe I'll give you a hint. Yes?
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Okay, that was one of the things Jesus said to do. There was one time when somebody asked him,
loving one another?
Okay. There was somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Do you remember what Jesus said then? Yes? Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said the second commandment's like it, and what was it?
Loving others.
Loving others, exactly. Love your neighbors yourself. Okay? So those are sort of the two things that everything that you said would fall under. Either it applies to loving God or loving our neighbor ourselves. So those are pretty important things, aren't they? Then if Jesus said that they were the most important, then certainly we want to pay attention to that. Now, I have a jar here, let's see, that I'd like to represent our lives. It's a quart jar, and it's about two-thirds full of sand. And now, we said that there was some really important things. Felicity, would you mind being my volunteer here this morning? I'd like you to come up here. And here's a stone that says, "Love God." Another one that says, "Honor and obey your parents," things y'all been talking about. Here's one that says, "Share toys." Here's one that says, "Help others." One says, "Kind words." So we were kind of thinking about the same things, weren't we? Now, Felicity, what I'd like you to do, what do you think here is the most important of these things here that I've laid out? Okay, love God. Would you put that in the jar? Okay. Now, what do you think might be next? Help others, say kind words, honor and obey our parents. Oh, it's getting kind of full here, isn't it? I think there might be a way to get both of those in. Okay, put that one in first. Oh, it's a little tight, isn't it? Now, do you think God wants us to get all these things in the jar? He would, wouldn't he? How are we going to do that? Well, if God told us to do that, then He's got a way to do it, right? Okay. I think maybe we should ask God to help us to figure out how to do that. All right, why don't we pray? Father, You've told us that there's some important things we need to have in our lives, and I pray that You would help us to find a way to put the most important things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's a verse in the Bible, and maybe y'all can help me remember it. Jesus talked about what we should do first. There's one time He talked about doing something first. Anybody think about what we're supposed to do first? Yes. Okay, forgive our sins. There's one time He said, there's something we're supposed to look for or to seek for. Do you remember that? If I told you the reference, Matthew 6:33. Do you have any idea? What? Seek God. Yes. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking about food and clothes and shelter and those kinds of things. And so if we do the things God asks us to do first, then there might be a big difference. So, Felicity, maybe you can start with an empty jar once and see how it goes. Be kind of careful. The jar could break. But you're putting the first things in first. That's good. Okay. Well, now look at that. Now, suppose we put this over here. And now, you want to see if the sand fits in there? All right. Look at that. Just fit. Just right. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Now, look at that. When we put God first, put the things that God tells us to do first, then everything else, our food and our clothes and those kinds of things, fit right in there. And that's God says what we should put Him first, and then He'll take care of all the rest. And that's our lesson for this morning. Thanks so much for listening. Now, I do have a song, though, I'd like to sing to go along with that. Y'all know that little song, J-O-Y? Okay, let's sing that. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, J-O-Y must be Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between.
J-O-Y, J-O-Y, J-O-Y must be. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between.
And I think we all know, we'll ask the audience to help us with the other one. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Maybe you can go back to your parents while we sing the other couple of verses.
Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Man shall not live.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.